This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
We heard the same stuff a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Didn't it seem like the Cubs are the team, this is going to happen, and then it just slowed down as they wanted to make sure they couldn't get the longer contract. So if indeed the offers remain the same, then maybe eventually it's just the Cubs.
There are rumblings that Alex Bregman favors the Cubs. I won't feel comfortable about that until he signs, until we get the report from Bruce or Passan or whoever, John Morosi.
Breaking news coming down late Wednesday. Alex Bregman has signed a three-year, $120 million deal with the Boston Red Sox. It's being reported that Bregman turned down a six-year deal worth $170 million in favor of signing with Boston.
This is significant news. First of all, we can now officially begin spring training now that Alex Bregman has signed. This was really the last major bit of news we were waiting on, and there were a number of teams still involved, the Cubs.
Oh, no!
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Come on.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Condolences to all the Cubs fans out there. Cubs lose the World Series.
Good morning, Mully.
Doesn't it feel that way? Doesn't losing Alex Bregman feel like you just lost the World Series?
No, that's overstating it.
Well, you said yesterday that they could win the World. Or I'm not you. I'm sorry, but we talked about.
But two things are true. Getting Alex Bregman would have made them a legitimate World Series contender.
Mm-hmm.
But losing him to the Red Sox in the way that they did with the contract he signed doesn't equate to losing a World Series.
Three-year deal for $120 million. A massive contract, $40 million a year, $10 million more than anyone else was offering.
$40 million a year.
And he still gets the opt-outs after each year.
Congratulations to Scott Boras.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce pushed back, and Scott Boras got the deal he wanted and sought and held out for. There are reports in Detroit. They probably feel very disappointed as well, Tigers fans, because the length of that offer was a six-year deal, reportedly, and Bregman turned that down for a higher average annual value or average annual salary.
A lot higher.
And $10 million more than the next highest bidder.
Come on.
It's understandable to be disappointed in Chicago, to feel like you missed out on something, but knowing that, it's hard to be too unhappy when you see a guy getting paid $40 million a year to play second base.
I nearly bought a house one time, but I was $10 million short in the bid. I had bid $10 million in one, but I could only afford the dollar. It's an absurd amount of money.
It is an absurd amount of money. It would be fun sometimes to debate whether or not the Cubs overpaid for somebody. I would look, if they want to next November overpay for Kyle Tucker, I think it will be fun to debate whether or not they did or not. Now, that would be a different kind of investment. I as we process this beginning this morning and what it means and what they are and aren't without him, I have a hard time just common sense says that you're not going to pay Alex Bregman, 30 years old, $40 million a year.
Don't you wonder why you didn't make it $5 million more? Like, I just wonder what is the tipping point for getting a deal done. If you give a guy $10 million more a year, well, you won. If there's a $10 million difference. But what if there was like a $2 million difference? In other words, did they overbid?
Did the Red Sox overbid?
Well,
perhaps they did, because the only question then would be, why did it take this long?
Right.
Maybe there was negotiating back and forth, and maybe it's all the answers lie in the details with the opt-outs and the flexibility those provide. It's hard to know until you see what's being reported now is that the salary is, think about it, $10 million more than anybody else was offering. That's not a hard decision for Alex Bregman.
That's a lot more.
And now the Red Sox in the offseason got Garrett Crochet. Now they add Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
They have to feel very good about their opening day lineup and their chances for the season. Meanwhile, the Cubs, I tweeted out last night when this happened around 9:45, the Cubs miss out. And I feel like they did miss out, but it's understandable why they would not be in this given what the Red Sox overpaid.
Yeah, it's a huge overpay. I mean, it's a crazy amount of money. Again, why wouldn't $7 million more? Like, you could have saved so much money by not, but it's almost like they just decided, all right, this is going on too long. Let's just put it out of.
We've seen teams and organizations bid against themselves. Yeah, it's not.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah, doesn't it feel like they bid against themselves?
It does feel that way. It's not the same type of acquisition, but we live in a city and we've been talking about Ben Johnson for a month now. The Bears essentially paid him more than anybody else offered. $13 million. How much would that have been? What the other teams that were interested in him would have paid him? We'll never know.
Right.
So when you come up with a number, maybe they didn't want to go higher than $120 million. And they said, okay, and they worked out the terms. There's going to be a lot of reporting on this. A lot of the details will come later. The bottom line is the Cubs have to now go to Plan B. And if Plan B is Matt Shaw, then you have to embrace that possibility and you have to go into the season with high aspirations and four really young developing players in your lineup every day.
But I mean, I understand what you're saying. I think we always knew that if they got Bregman, that Shaw wouldn't be the starting third baseman. But now they've got to get a backup third baseman, right? So it's like Plan B is Turner or whomever, right? Isn't that more Plan B? Not as the starter, Matt Shaw was always there, is all I'm saying.
If that makes sense, that I think the way you listen to Craig Counsell, and he's elaborating quite a bit. I think some people are maybe not as satisfied in hearing him elaborate on certain things, but he's been pretty open, I think. Sounds like he's pretty set with his backup plan at third base. Like, he talked about Birdie, and he talked about...
So they're not going to add anybody else?
I don't know. I think that he's protected himself against that possibility, and he's braced for that reality. If they do, it's a bonus. I still think that Justin Turner is 40 years old. It's not ideal, but it does give you some insurance and maybe some security. I also found it very interesting that the story and the news coming out yesterday, looking forward to talking to Bruce about this, Alex Canario is out of options, and he's been practicing as a backup first baseman. Maybe a right-handed pop or complement or platoon with Michael Bush at first base. I don't know defensively if that's a risk or whatever, but There are options that they have.
That was the one thing he did say that kind of caught everyone's attention, that they needed cover at first base, right? Which is crazy.
A little bit.
But I guess Bellinger's gone, and that had been your cover.
And that was your cover, and it gave you a good feeling. Justin Turner certainly would be a guy that could back up both positions, or maybe sometimes if Shaw struggles, start at third base. You have realistic expectations if a guy joins your team at 40. But you would feel better about the situation. And I think the Cubs want to put themselves now in a position where they feel better about the situation because it's disappointing.
Well, it's funny because, Dustin, are you disappointed? Because the amount of money helped ease the disappointment. It was kind of like, oh, well, I mean, they, of course they got him. They went $10 million more than anyone else.
A bit disappointed, but based on the figures, you're right. I mean, it's ridiculous. Well, $40 million a year for a 30-year-old. Here's the next time Jed talks, and it could be here on the Score. Who knows? Are the Cubs not in the business of deferred money? It just doesn't seem so. It seems like to get these big deals done, teams are deferring
money.
That's
an excellent question.
And it doesn't, is that just something from Tom? Like, we don't do that. We're not involved in that.
To your knowledge, and I know this is a big question to ask it at 5:39, but has he addressed, or Ricketts ever addressed that question? I don't recall asking it. And I'm trying to
remember. You're the last one who had access to him, right?
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's why I'm
not blaming you for
loud,
not asking him either.
But we did talk to Tom Ricketts at the convention, and I think that there were questions alluding to that, but I'm not quite sure. I'd have to go back and check. It's a great question, because if the Red Sox got that done in part because of the deferral, look, Mully, but you're right. There's an understanding of what happened and why the Cubs maybe were fiscally responsible and not giving this guy $40 million a year. But I think by the same token, an honest reaction is disappointment.
Yeah,
I think you can be disappointing and understand.
I think it's been such a long kind of daily update process. I mean, I feel like we've had daily updates, which are basically speculation, for roughly 3 or 4 weeks now. Where every day it feels like, the Cubs, they've inched ahead. Oh, the race is,
it felt that way.
Yes.
Well, because a lot of people were speculating. And let's just take yesterday until this broke last night at about 9:45. We had audio from Harold Reynolds, who had a source telling him Bregman went to the Cubs. Our guy, John Heyman, who does the job as well as anybody, went on a podcast on Wednesday afternoon and said that the Cubs were the favorite.
Yeah.
And so you build up this sort of expectation or maybe a little bit of excitement. And you think, okay, this could be possible. And then you see it ruined the way that I watched the rest of the Four Nations face off.
Well, I got to tell you, I think that what's interesting to me is yesterday was the first time I heard A.J. Hinch talk about it. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the special relationship that the two of them have and how close they are. And I was thinking like, oh, wait a minute, like, I was thinking of it as a pure money decision, and the Cubs, when it came down to everyone making the same offer, were the more desirable destination. Mm-hmm. And whether it's your workout buddy or a couple guys you played with, you were like, oh, look, they got connections. Yeah, he would want to come here. But his old manager is in Detroit, and his old backup manager is in Boston. Like, you didn't think about it in terms of because I thought about it only as a monetary issue.
Right.
But I feel like it came down to just money.
I think it did come down to money. And if you're, I feel like this is not rationalization. Maybe you disagree. But if you're in Detroit and a Tigers fan, you're more disappointed, than a Cub fan.
I bet you're hugely
because
disappointed.
Because you had a 6-year offer, apparently, reportedly, on the table. You had the ex-manager there, and you had a need that exists, and he said no anyway.
Yeah.
To go to the Red Sox, it just made them a better team.
Yeah, I never thought about it in the sense of who needs it more, who needs it most. Mm-hmm. I thought about it in the sense of who's giving the most.
I just
who's
feel like
offer him the best deal.
But you were not alone in that. I think a lot of people felt the same way and were overlooking some of these connections that make a lot of sense now, but in retrospect, maybe we overlooked because you're like, well, he's not going to pick the Boston Red Sox because he's got a connection with that manager. But I think all of it came together. Well, here's what's really interesting, too. At this stage of his career, I know he was a shortstop in college, but he's going to play second base, apparently. Mm-hmm. So he's going to move from third base to second base because the Red Sox are set there. So I think there's all kinds of questions you wonder about that move. And you're paying $40 million. We talk about premium positions in the NFL more so than we do in Major League Baseball. But $40 million for a second baseman.
Yeah, but I mean, by doing that, don't they have a better lineup? I mean, they're getting a hot corner offensive production at second base.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think that, well, I guess what I kind of underestimated is that the Yankees are damaged, right? The Yankees might be taking a step back, even though they're acting like that's not the case, and they've obviously got pitching and improved.
You lose Soto, you take a step back.
You're taking a step back. So maybe the Red Sox think, hey, we can take this step forward and win the division, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably all sensible. And we're getting a lot of pushback. Like, why do you worry about the Cubs' money? And they're going to be fiscally responsible and win 85 games. It's not all that. I mean, we can still be critical of the Cubs for not doing enough, and we can always be critical of ownership, and we're going to still be skeptical about a lot of things. It's just that when it hits you, you understand. Anybody, I think, applies common sense to this. You understand why a team that didn't offer $10 million more, this is an overpay. This is clearly an overpay.
It's $10 million more. It's $40 million a year. I mean, where does that fit in the landscape of baseball? I understand it's Shohei makes a ton of money and Soto made a ton of money.
It's understandable to be disappointed. It's hard to be mad about this. You know, I didn't come in this morning like I'm just ticked off at Tom Ricketts because he won't spend. I don't feel that. I'm not going to manufacture that.
I'm more
that.
Surprised at the amount of money he's getting.
I am too.
It's crazy amount
that, of money. That's the dominant reaction. Surprise.
Yeah, it is a surprise because it was this horse race and it was like kind of you thought the Cubs had inched ahead and you know they're coming down the stretch and here come and then the horse wins by 40 lengths. Like, what? how did that happen? How did that guy get so far ahead of everyone else?
7-7-3.
It's almost like watching the Bulls game yesterday.
Oh, no. Let's not go there yet. Oh, my gosh. 7-7-3. When is David apologizing to Bruce, giving him a hard time on Scott Boras? Boras won again. Boston has to be ticked off. It offered $10 million a year. Boras played the three perfectly. Boras won this one. He did. My pushing back at Bruce yesterday was that there are examples in the last couple of years at this time of the year where Boras had some issues, but he did win this one. And in fairness, he deserves credit because he got a deal. They got an infielder $40 million.
A second baseman.
It's crazy. So now you got to recalibrate as a Cub fan, process this disappointment, figure out how you feel about this team without Alex Bregman.
Yeah, I think you still feel pretty good. I still think that they're the best team in the division, that they did more than anyone in the division. Mm-hmm. I mean, could they have gotten better? Yeah, that would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's not like... It's not like, imagine if you had a team that signed a guy and you thought, oh, that's not bad, and it was not quite $2 million. And then there's another team that signed a guy for $40 million. Are you in the same league?
I know. It's a lot. It's a lot. Now I'm wondering how much to look at this now as, see, the Red Sox, they get Bregman. Nick Pivetta signs with the Padres.
Yep.
Does this mean the Padres are now more likely to deal Dylan Cease because they signed Pivetta to a 4-year deal? They signed Michael King.
Yeah.
They're locking up those guys for the next couple of years. Do they look at Cease as maybe he's going to be walking at the end of the year, get something for him now? Could the Cubs be in on that now? Do we shift our focus, or is that just a rebound reaction?
Well, I think you shift your focus because the money that you saved on Bellinger that you were going to put into Bregman is still sitting there.
I know.
And you got a guy that it's not a lot of money. It's you got to give up a prospect or two, but you get a guy even for a year who, if you're on the one-and-done plan, he's the best pitcher on the staff.
I agree with that. I just don't know how much hope to invest in that because I don't know how realistic it is or isn't right now. It's February 13th, so there's plenty of time to get these deals done. Last year, Dylan Cease didn't get traded by the White Sox until it was after spring training, right? We're well into spring training.
Yeah, we're easing into the Cease time.
Definitely. So the annual Dylan Cease trade conversation. I'm not ready to go there yet, I guess, but because it just, you know, you set yourself up for another disappointment. That's all you got to do. You set yourself up for another disappointment if you think that way.
Well, you've got to learn to love again.
I know.
You can't live with protecting your wounded heart.
I'm good. I'm fine. We'll talk about it. It makes sense to me why the Cubs didn't get Alex Bregman if the Red Sox were willing to pay him what they ended up paying him.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount of money, and whatever.
But you're right. It was a good diversion from the Bulls game.
The Bulls were awful, but they were good. They started okay. They did okay. They played with until the third quarter. They were kind of keeping their head.
Billy Donovan called a timeout 56 seconds into the game.
Yes.
Again, 56 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You knew at that point this was not going to be their night.
Really? Well, they were competitive, though.
They were competitive.
They were tied.
They were more competitive than they were the night before. That would not have been difficult.
They were tied after one? Is that? It was seemed like pretty, they got more points.
They played better
than they had in the first half.
They played better. but
the night before, they did play better.
It's just discouraging to see.
And I got to tell you, I like
where the bar is now.
When Matas Buzelis was on with Dan and Marshall, and they asked him about what was going to happen last night, and his response was, "We've already been on the text. They've got like a group text.
Yep.
And they were already talking about how that's not going to happen again. And he said that won't happen again, and it didn't happen again. But they did lose, and they lost convincingly. But it was at least they were in the game for a lot longer.
At least they're communicating.
At
least they're communicating.
I hate to say this, but I love the idea that they're on a group text together. I just love that idea. I know I shouldn't, but just the idea that everybody's waking up. Hey, we can't let that happen. Yeah, you know, let's go. And I think it's Real Madrid is the great soccer team in the world out of Madrid, obviously. Mm-hmm. But they have a text exchange, and every once in a while, someone will get a hold of it and print it. And it's just so much fun to think about just normal people, like one guy making a bad joke at another guy's expense. You know, like the same sort of group text that we all have.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
So you like that Modest let us
I like that he shared that with us. I like the idea that they're all on a tie. I know that sounds idiotic.
No, it's not idiotic.
But I really like it. It makes me feel like
it's
they're
cute,
being more of a
it's
team.
It's like if you knew all three of your kids were on a group text, you'd feel very good about
that.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
All right,
right.
I get
exactly
it.
Exactly right.
I thought Modest Buzelis was very funny, confident, and well-spoken in his interview on The Score. We don't know a lot about him. We're learning a lot more about him. He's the face of the franchise, for goodness sakes. And I thought he came off really well in that interview with Dan and Marshall.
He's a sharp kid.
And he did not back down from the Cooper Flagg stuff.
That was great.
That was very funny. He talked about playing him one-on-one.
Yeah.
Kendall Gill's not backing down from that at all. I saw Kendall last night, and he's getting a kick out of the attention that his opinion has created. And it's fun.
That's definitely fun. It's definitely good stuff. And my kids do have a text line, and I'd love that to be printed because I'm sure I am the butt of many a joke.
You really would want that? I don't think you want that to be printed.
No, I mean, I'm saying for me, I don't want the public.
I'm saying
I would love to read
it. Just tweet that out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I just thought it was cool that the Bulls have a little group text. I'm sure they're sharing thoughts this morning.
Well, they're on vacation this morning.
Yeah, they're all traveling to various
quarters. Yeah, I'd get out of town, too, if I were them. They need a break. Billy Donovan needs a break. The Bulls need a break. Billy, we need a break from the Bulls. We need a break from the Bulls.
We get one. We get one with the All-Star game, and we won't see any of them in it, and we'll definitely get to watch Matas on Saturday night.
That's going
to
be fun.
So at least it's representation of some sort. But Billy going to get his jersey retired, and I thought it was cool that he said that the best thing about it is that all of his old teammates, they'll all get together again, that they do keep in touch, but they don't see each other all that.
I love that because that was a really special team.
It was.
1987, I believe it was the Final Four team.
Yeah.
Billy Donovan, Delray Brooks with the backcourt, Rick Pitino, the head coach. Pitino's going to be in town, I believe, next week with St. John's. That's one of the biggest stories in college basketball against DePaul.
You say they lost, though, last night?
Yeah, I know.
Got into the top 10 and they lost.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But college basketball is crazy.
Do you remember the slogan for that Providence team?
Did you see Vic Fangio was at that game?
I did.
And got like a huge ovation.
I didn't see that. That's great. What was the slogan for that Providence team?
The Providence team? The fly is open. Let's go pee. I was at my confirmation retreat. I snuck a Walkman. And again, this is way obviously pre-cell phone, pre-pager days. Yep. I snuck a Walkman with me, and like we were to walk around the grounds, wherever, I forget where they took us to. We were to walk around the grounds and reflect, and we were like by a pond. And I remember staring into a pond, listening to the Final Four on my Walkman.
That's hilarious.
And that was that year, and the slogan was, "The fly is open. Let's go pee." Pee for Providence.
Yeah, of course.
Well, just to make sure.
That was
their slogan.
That's a great memory. That was a fun team. My memory is related to Delray Brooks because he was from Michigan City.
I know. You blocked him in a game.
I didn't block him in a game.
No, you stripped of the ball and you dunked at him. I've heard the story.
He dunked on
him,
right?
I think it's funny. You talked to Billy about it. You told him.
I know.
That you got the ball with your elbow.
Did you ever dunk in a game?
No. Delray Brooks dunked on me. I did not dunk on him.
That's what I thought. I wanted to make sure.
No, and I did tell Billy Donovan because I loved that team.
I know.
I watched all that I could.
I think it's hilarious. It's great.
Yeah.
I remember that kid. Where did he – it was like a – he was like a McDonald's All-American.
Yeah, he went to Indiana. Then he was Mr. Basketball, and then he transferred to Providence.
Transferred in. Yeah.
And then went to the Final Four.
That's great stuff.
Cool.
All right, we got the pick six next. We'll get to all of it, and meanwhile, we'll be on our group text. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick 6 with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mullion Haw starts now.
How big of a loss for the Cubs is Alex Bregman signing 3 years, $40 million with the Red Sox? What do they do now? Can you miss something that you never had?
Yeah, you can miss something you didn't have. You can miss something theoretical. You can, you know, obviously you don't miss it like somebody that you had and who left, but it's almost like unrequited love. You can feel a sense of heartbreak, even though there was never any kind of real relationship other than a hidden crush. I do think you can miss things you didn't have. But I do believe that this one is, I don't want to act like, oh, the Cubs can't afford that. They couldn't do it. But that's a crazy amount of money. He got the 3-year deal for $120 million with 2 opt-outs. So he can opt out after the first year, and he can opt out after the second year. That's an unbelievable deal. I mean, it's deferred money, as we've talked about already, but, he didn't take my – and what was the Cubs' offer? $30 million a year? So he didn't take my $90 million deal. He took the $120 deal, that greedy son of a gun. It just feels like – that's just so much money. You were never really in the bidding, right? And I don't know what Boris is telling everybody. And if he gave him a chance to, hey, they're going to 40 a year. You want to go 42, right? I don't think that happened. I think they hit the number and they got the deal done and you were on the sidelines. And I mean, the Cubs were looking for a guy of value and not for a guy they'd have to overpay. And you could argue $30 million might be overpaying him.
Well, I would think most Cub fans will now, at least for a short period of time, have their eyes on what Bregman is doing with the Red Sox. That's only natural. But at some point, we, Cubs fans, Cubs media, Cubs radio, Cubs ownership, need to see if the Cubs general manager, vice president of baseball operations, and the scouts know what they're looking at. And let's find out if any of these great prospects the Cubs have can play. It's the time to do that. We saw that Pete Crow Armstrong can kind of sort of play, but this is going to be a huge year for him. Matt Shaw was the best minor league player, had a great tournament. Okay, let's see if he can do it. I was in on this, but not at $40 million. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous to me. Good for Alex Bregman. And hopefully good for the Cubs, okay? No problem.
It's hard to disparage Cubs ownership, Jed Hoyer, Carter Hawkins, for not winning this one because of the way things turned out, the details we're aware of now. It's hard to be too critical when you have a situation that appears where the Red Sox overpaid and were bidding against themselves. So I get the reaction if Cub fans are really just distraught and critical because they didn't spend enough money, and boy, the Cubs are in a big market. This seems like it was exorbitant, this $40 million. Even if it ends up being for 1 year and he opts out, I understand why that would be a bridge too far for the Cubs and Alex Bregman. It's natural to feel disappointment given how much time and hope that we have invested in this conversation. Over the last month, as you said, Mully, it's almost been a daily update. Who's ahead? What's now? Where's he feeling? Where's he eating? What does that mean? All of these things are clues, and we're overanalyzing what they are, and we're interpreting things that weren't necessarily true or indicators. So now they've got to move on. I don't necessarily agree with you, Dustin, even though I get it. The prospects are prospects. They're highly rated, and now we get to see them try to be major leaguers. Maybe they're all will hit, but typically prospects don't all hit. I would feel better if they had some insurance. I'd feel really good if they went out and they pivoted, and now they regroup, and they, before opening day, go make a trade for a Dylan Cease. Go make a trade for somebody else in the lineup that may be. I don't know who that person is yet. I don't know what that deal is worth considering. But I want them to not go to opening day with the lineup they have right now or the collection of players they have right now. I want them to add because they still have the Bellinger money, and this is a disappointment, and they still have kind of a void.
First of all, I just stepped on your question.
That's the voice of Casey Johnson. He will join Mully and Haw at 7:25. What was your reaction to the John Hollinger of The Athletic report that the Bulls turned down a first-round draft pick for Lonzo Ball? Instead, the Bulls signed Ball to a contract extension. What gives?
This is baffling. This is baffling. We had the reaction after the trade deadline thinking the Bulls would do more after trading Zach LaVine, and then they didn't. And if they had a first-round draft pick offered for Lonzo Ball, I'm not sure why they wouldn't take advantage of that. I don't know how you commit to a rebuild without wanting to accumulate draft assets. And a first-round draft pick in this particular draft would have been an asset. And to me, more valuable than a point guard that stabilizes your offense but is a health risk every time he steps onto the floor. So my reaction was curiosity, disappointment, and kind of just sitting there shaking my head like, is this really true? Because if this is in fact credible, and I have no reason to believe John Hollinger isn't, then this is questions a lot of the direction that the Bulls have declared.
Well, I think we did have reports, and I think if I'm understanding Casey Johnson on social media, of course, you guys have the opportunity, 7:25, to ask him. There were reports that the Bulls were being contacted in trade for Lonzo Ball.
Casey wrote that.
That they were doing that. It was never.
He said he referred to it as draft compensation. He never said first round.
Right, draft capital. Right,
yeah.
Capital compensation. Okay, but as we look at the standings as they sit here, and we've got some games tonight, but then everybody's going to be off on Friday, and then until Wednesday, you know, the Timberwolves are basically in sixth place in the West. They've got a decent team. What would that pick be? The 25th pick, the 22nd pick. So what?
Do you know it's the Timberwolves?
Yeah.
They said that it was there was one report here's what I read. When I first heard it,
The Grizzlies were in on that too.
When I first heard the thing, I thought, "Wow, AK should be fired. How could he not have traded? Why would you sign the guy and not trade him? You get a first-round draft pick." And then you look into it, and it's about they would have had taken expiring contracts to the point where it was they'd be stuck again with salary cap woes. And I understood that they didn't want to do that for exactly what you're saying, Dustin, for a later first-round pick. So, in other words, they would have given up a guy that they like, and I'm with you. I felt like with all the injury history and everything, what's the problem? But they got a good deal done with him. I thought that they really should have gotten a draft pick out of it. But if the money was going to be more than the next year, see what I'm saying? Like if they would now have one of these contracts that they're waiting to expire, I didn't like that idea. So I guess that's why they didn't do it. There are a lot of holes in it, and I did see KC tweet that he had mentioned interest in him and termed it as draft capital, not a first-round pick. All right.
I think it's a good question.
What was your take on the Bulls' final game before the All-Star break? Was their effort better? What about the result? What was the most significant difference from the night before?
Well, they started better, not initially better, but they played better in the first half. They didn't get blown out in that game till the third quarter. That's the big difference. And I felt that was progress from one game to the next. I thought they should have done better, but there was like an 18-4 run or something to start the third quarter. I mean, it was just the same that we saw the night before where – I mean, they were just dunking on them. That's a bad matchup for them. Detroit was just dunking the ball on them, and their toughness and physicality became very apparent early in that third quarter, and that was where the game was decided. But it was different because they weren't behind by 70 early.
Bulls scored 32 in the first quarter and were tied. So that obviously was a massive change of things.
What'd they have 29 the first half the night before,
night
right?
Before 29. They had 27 in the second quarter after having 11 the night before. So if I do a little quick math, District 205, that was 59 points in the first half for the Bulls. Hey, and they were 9 for 41 from three-point distance. But in all seriousness, it was good to see Io show some aggression and get a technical and not want to take it, and basically this is, you know, we're not going to get pushed around, try to push back a little bit. So that was good. You got to try to find something positive. I mean, Bezelis still in the starting lineup. That's not a bad thing. 5 for 12 though, only 1 for 7 from 3-point distance. His plus minus was minus 20. Bezelis 11 points. But again, the night before, they had two guys in double digits.
That's Bernstein stink.
This is a low bar that we're setting for the Bulls to clear. The fact that their effort was better, that Io was committed and intense and got a technical to show it, and they had a semblance of an NBA team for a half. Since AK met the media after the trade deadline passed a week ago, this team has been unwatchable. And that's not great to admit, and certainly not a positive development, but if that's by design, then fine, I get it. But it's really hard to see progress right now watching the Bulls. Last night was no exception. They were more competitive than they were the night before. That would not take much. They could have shown up and just been more animated, had another cup of coffee, had a little bit more pep in their step, and they would have been better than they were the night before. This is a bad basketball team, and I think it is intentional. They're not making progress, and I think that it's good for everybody. Players, coaches, executives, especially fans, that the Bulls have a week off.
You know, I've been asked that question before.
That's the voice of Kendall Gill. What did you think of Matas Buzela's answer when asked by the Midday Show about Kendall Gill's prediction that he'd be better than Cooper Flagg?
We're not taking anything away from Cooper. He's still very young. He's obviously a great player. That one-on-one thing, I remember, it was more like a King of the Hill, but I think he might be talking about, like, because me and him also played against each other a lot in the NIBC when he was on Mount Vernon, I was on Sunrise Christian. So we were great competitors, and I feel like I won those matchups every time. But Cooper was also very young. He's obviously, I think, going to be the number one pick. Very bright kid, wants to learn.
So what do you think?
Elder statesman Matas Buzelis, all of 20 years old, talking about the young man Cooper Flagg. I love that he leaned into it. I love that he explained it. And I love that he didn't back down from the idea that he did get the best of Cooper Flagg. And in his mind, I think he sounded like a guy who believes he's better than Cooper Flagg. And that he's in on it with Kendall. Obviously, they have a connection. Obviously, Kendall has seen, as we have talked about, Matas Buzelis play since he was younger than 20. And I believe the opinion of a 15-year veteran of the NBA is relevant and valid. Cooper Flagg is a fantastic player, the consensus number one pick likely coming out in June's draft. He will be all that and more in the NBA. If Matas Buzelis is close to that kind of player, the Bulls did it right in last summer's draft. I just am glad, after hearing that interview, that he's as confident as we suspected.
Confidence is sexy, don't you think? We've got that clip somewhere. Kendall, I've never been hoping more that Kendall Gill was correct. I hope he was right. And he just watch, right, Kendall? Just watch. Just wait. Maybe we should redo that question that we like to give me a hard time about. We should do the question about 5 years from now, who will be the biggest star in Chicago sports? Because
PCA.
The names will have changed. And PCA will still be part of the list, but Matt Shaw might be added to the list. Matas Buzelis will be part of that conversation. Connor Bedard will remain on that list. Don't tell the national talking heads in hockey. And then, Caleb Williams will be part of that list. And is there a White Sox that would be on that list? Is 5 years out too long for one of the star lefties?
Hagan Smith.
One of the star lefties, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of flag waving going around about Cooper Flagg, but Matas Buzelis knows that he can capture the flag. And he's beaten him repeatedly. As I recall, yeah, that guy, that little weasel, barely came up to my navel, and I would dunk on him. Isn't that what he said, basically?
Kind of, basically. That's
the sense you got, yeah, that he agreed. Oh, he's going to be the first pick, and he's a great player. Yeah, I'm better than him. Of course I am. I'm Matas Buzelis. I do think it's a good quality to have, to believe in yourself. And I think that he didn't back away from it, and he didn't try to make nice about it. I mean, he didn't. He said all the right things, but he just spoke matter-of-factly. Well, I'm older than him, but yeah, I beat him.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yep.
That's pretty good stuff. So does that project? In other words, does that mean that he will be a better NBA player? This kid looks pretty good. He looks like he's a really good college player, and he's incredibly young. So
Flagg at 27 last night.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He looks like
a pro. So we'll see how that works out moving forward. But I like the moment for the kid. I'd like to talk to him, too. I thought he was really good.
Confidence is very sexy, don't you think?
That's a great question.
That's a couple of voices there, but we'll stick with Mark Gannis, a sports business expert, joining Mully and Haw at 9 o'clock. Come on, texters. Who was that voice, texters? 312-644-6767. Do you like hearing Saquon Barkley tell Howard Stern in an interview that he doesn't understand why Taylor Swift was booed at the Super Bowl? Barkley said he hadn't heard in real time when she was showing on the Jumbotron.
They showed her on the Jumbotron, and she got booed. I don't get it. I don't get why she was getting hate there.
I didn't like that either.
Yeah, she's just there supporting her significant other, and she's made the game bigger. You know, we're all about how can we expand the game and make it more internationally, and we're traveling to Brazil, and we're traveling to Mexico, and her being a part of it is only helping that. So I don't get the slack that she's getting.
Your reaction to what Barkley said on the Howard Stern program?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was a really mature response, and I thought it was correct. And other people have said similar things. It's ridiculous that because you're there to support your loved one, you're anti-Eagle. Is that was it the Eagle fans that were booing her? I mean, she got booed. That must have been shocking for her because she's so well cheered whenever she's on tour in all the countries where the NFL plans on playing, whether it be, as he said, you know, they started the season in Brazil, the Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. Isn't Australia scheduled for next year? She's had great concerts in Australia. I just don't know. I think, you know, has she helped grow the Shield? I think she has. I think there are a lot of her fans that are interested in Travis Kelce. Not because they're football fans, but because they like her. And I don't think there's anything really wrong or somehow evil about that. I mean, it's why do people boo people? A lot of it's jealousy. You know, a lot of people look at someone who has all sorts of different talents and they think, you know, that should be me. I should have, you know, there's a great line in that movie, The Complete Unknown, where Bob Dylan, Timothy Chalamet playing Bob Dylan, says, people come up and ask me all the time, where did those songs come from? How'd you get those songs? And what they're really asking is, why didn't I get those songs? And, you know, it's kind of a way people feel about other people. I don't think there's anything wrong with her dating Travis Kelce. It doesn't bother me at all.
I agree with you, Mully, that it was a very mature response. Saquon Barkley's done a great job. He's been going around, and he should soak it all in. And he's a great ambassador to football. But I don't think she has helped grow the game. I really don't. If anything, we've heard more negatives than positives. Like, I don't think people are tuning in to see her walk in. Now, they might, like, comment on social media about her walking in or who she's sitting next to, but I don't think the reason that the NFL is going to have the opportunity to play a game in Australia is because Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are dating. Like, I don't get that part of it.
A little surprised by your take as a father of daughters, because I do believe that she's expanded the reach of the NFL a lot, and there are a lot of young teenage girls who are more interested in the NFL, whether it's because they're watching the game with their dad or maybe they see Taylor Swift making football cool to them or whatever the case may be, she certainly has expanded the reach of the league, whether it's nationally or internationally, and that is powerful. And she is definitely part of the reason the game continues to grow the way that it has. Now, without Taylor Swift, the game still would have grown, maybe not to the extent that it is now. Saquon Barkley is a classy professional athlete, just bottom line. That's who he is and always has been, really. He's one guy who grew up in Pennsylvania, maybe defending another Pennsylvania native in Taylor Swift. I think he probably has some respect for her that was obvious in the way that he spoke about her, and she is good for the league. I don't understand why people would boo, except for it's a visceral reaction to being at the Super Bowl and seeing somebody who represents the team you're playing. I'll give Eagles fans the benefit of the doubt, I suppose, but it was she's done nothing to deserve that kind of reaction when you see her face on a screen. All she has done has been good for the game.
The only negative things I've heard about her in relation to the NFL is that because the league wants her and her fans interested, they'll push the Chiefs and they'll fix plays, and it's all about
nonsense.
And that's the same kind of, just it's like these. It is absurd to think that there's a fix in because she's involved. Just as you believe it's absurd to think that she's helped grow the game in any way.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
And that's not what I said, but we can use the Odyssey app and rewind the tape. Did you watch any of the Four Nations face-off last night, or do you plan to tonight? Or is hockey off the radar for you till the Blackhawks return to the ice?
This was riveting. This was the best thing on television last night. This was world-class hockey, playoff intensity, high skill, high motors, all the things. You saw Canada take a 3-1 lead, and you just saw all kinds of high-level execution. Sidney Crosby had 3 assists. The first goal, if you want to go on YouTube and you're a hockey fan, with McDavid and McKinnon and Crosby, goodness sakes, if you love hockey, you're not going to see it executed any better than that. And then how they're flying around, and then the overtime. Overtime, NHL rules, 3-on-3. Here comes Mitch Marner. Free agent to be Mitch Marner. Dustin, that's the way we should refer to him in the updates moving forward. Free agent to be Mitch Marner, who would look great in a red sweater, already does last night wearing the colors of Canada, wins it for the Canadiens. That was world-class hockey. Give me some more.
Sorry, I was taking David's advice. Free agent to be Mitch Marner. Okay, next update. Stay tuned for that. It's much better than the NHL All-Star game, that's for sure.
Yes.
Okay, let's start there. I fell asleep when it was 3-1, and I had Team Canada as part of a five-leg parlay. Vegas Haw has gotten to me, so I invested last night, and I won five-leg parlay, and the Pistons and the Team Canada were two of those five that I was able to cash in on. It's cool. I will be tuned in tonight. Panger was part of the broadcast.
They even had Panger.
I saw that, so that was pretty cool. And tonight it's Finland, USA, out in Boston, and USA is a -345 favorite tonight.
Wow.
That's big.
Teuvo Teravainen playing for Finland tonight. Just saying.
That's what my complaint is, and you know that, so that's why you brought that up. I said earlier that I would definitely be watching tonight's game because of the U.S., and I keep hearing and reading that the U.S. is closing in on Canada, and so I'm curious about that. But I'm really going to kind of be watching because at least I got a player that I follow on the team. Not that I don't follow what's going on with the major stars in the NHL and all this stuff. But I said to David, like, wouldn't this tournament be a lot better if there were more Blackhawks in it? I'm tantalized by some of the young guys when I see them in the juniors, etc. But that's all the Blackhawks have. They don't have any current superstars.
Future Blackhawk Mitch Marner scored the goal in overtime.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Connor Bedard.
I wish he was there.
I really wish he was there.
He missed out.
And I think I would have been much more likely to watch the game. It started just a tad too late for me. I did not want to get pot committed, so I wanted to just kind of go to bed and fight for the morning. I wasn't sure how bad the snow was going to be. I know it sounds crazy, but we get up awful early and we get out awful early. I was up well early this morning, actually shoveling snow, just because I was up, because I was a little paranoid about getting in. But it worked out great. I thought they did it was one of those snowstorms where everyone had ample time to consider it, so it was dealt with. But I love the idea they're playing NHL rules and they're going at it. And the idea that Canada needed overtime is pretty shocking when you think about they had an early lead in that game. So
Sweden came back, though. They played very smart, very good.
I nonetheless think that this is going to be a competitive tournament, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So, yeah, I did record the game last night, and I will be probably watching this one a little bit more.
My son couldn't watch it. He was out. He was coming home. He called me, and I was – I wish I would have recorded this. My play-by-play for overtime, pretty good.
You gave him the
play-by-play? Yes, I was giving him play-by-play.
Wow.
While he was driving or whatever he was doing, and
so
he was listening.
So it's not on anywhere? Because it's on TNT, right?
It was on True TV.
But I'm saying, it's like one of the TNT.
Yeah, one of those.
But my point is, it's not like on the radio or anything.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
no.
Because you, or maybe he just prefers your play-by-play.
I think he called me.
It was actually on. I heard a radio call on the way in. It was on like Sirius XM's NHL channel.
Okay.
No, I wonder if that call of the winner was better than mine. I didn't tape it. I'm sorry.
We don't have
But I had a lot of fun describing it to him. It was fun.
Were you doing the Doc Emery thing where you were
I did not watch.
He shuffles it into the corner and backhanded back. His language was so beautiful.
I was like, Marner looks tired. Oh, he looks tired. Oh, he's got the puck. Oh my gosh. Here he goes. Oh, he scored. Oh, he won. Yeah, something like that.
But you said he looked tired. First.
I said he looked tired. That's I know, he did.
That's good stuff. All right, we got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 score.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Just 33 days until the Cubs open their season in Japan, but our guy Bruce Levine reporting that Craig Counsell has not made a decision on the second starting pitcher. Counsell has said Shota Imanaga will start one of the games, but not which one, and he said that he'll likely use four starters in the two games, so who starts the opener? Is there a doubt?
No, there's no doubt. There's no controversy. There's very little suspense here, guys. This is... We don't really have anything to wonder about. It's going to be Justin Steele. We know this. The Cubs play two games in Japan. Then they come home, right? There's a break. So these two games are self-contained games. They're like a series. You're going to use everybody. I don't know why there's so much consternation based on Dustin's reaction before the show. I'm gauging this on. You're going to see Justin Steele, probably game two. Imanaga, probably the opening day starter. He's in Japan. We get it. Jameson Taillon's going to pitch. Craig Counsell's already said he's going to use all the starters in different roles, right? Yes, sir. So Tyone's going to pitch. We might see Boy. Who else do you want to see? There's no really – Justin Steele and Imanaga are going to pitch in Japan.
So why can't Craig just say that, David?
I don't know.
Why can't he said that, of course, Shota will pitch because it's, quote-unquote, mandated.
He's kidding, though. Okay. It's not mandated by the Japanese government or anything, or by the Cubs, MLB's. He's being tongue in cheek.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Well, but why is this such a thing? First of all, you know how I feel about opening day starters.
Because he's asked a direct question, and he has to go cloak and dagger.
It is a big deal. It is a ceremonial honor to be the opening day starter, right?
For in this case, if Imanaga is going to start in Japan, yeah, it's a big deal.
So especially, he has to earn it,
especially against Otani. He's on the bump now, right? He's actually planning on pitching this year.
Justin Steele started the first game for the Cubs last year. All of a sudden, he's not going to. Could he at least just say Shota Imanaga and Justin Steele are going to start the two games?
This is what I care about.
Are they both going to pitch
in Japan? Are they both going to pitch against the Dodgers? And those two games, are you going to see all your starting pitchers against the Dodgers? Fine. Yes. Go ahead, Dustin, your turn.
Your turn.
I told you. Why can't he just tell us that Shota's going to start one of the games and Justin Steele's going to start the other? Why is that so secret? State secrets. We're hiding that from the Japanese media. Let's throw him off. We're going to start Ben Brown in game two, and then in the third inning, we're going to come from behind tactically, and we're going to bring in Justin Steele. That'll screw up the Dodgers lineup. We got him on the ropes. They're supposed to be the champs.
Could it be as simple as they haven't thrown a pitch yet this season? They haven't really gotten into any spring training activity, and he just doesn't want to name his starting rotation yet. He knows that they're going to definitely be starting two different pitchers because they got to play two games in Japan, but he doesn't know who it is, although Shota will definitely be one of them. I think your reaction to it, who knows? You don't know who's in what kind of condition. I would imagine that Justin Steele would be the starter in one game because he was the opening day starter a year ago, and it is a largely ceremonial type of thing, but people love it. People love that kind of thing, and you got to kind of bow to ceremony sometimes. And I think that I think it would be really interesting to see if there is any chance that you can I'm very curious how many pitchers he will use. Not if you're planning on using four starters over two games, how many bullpen guys? Is anyone pitching more than a couple of innings at the beginning of a season, if indeed you're worried about preserving arms, or does this give you a better opportunity to get everybody a little work so you're up and running and you're more prepared to get into your rotation as the season goes on? It's a long flight there and a long flight home, and you'll have time and you'll be able to really kind of set up your pitching any way you want. So I'll be very curious to see how he uses them. But I do think it is ceremonial, and that's it. And that's why you want to know, Dustin. But he doesn't want to tell you. All right, that is the Extra Point. And we got your phone calls. We got the phone lines open, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Breaking news coming down late Wednesday. Alex Bregman has signed a 3-year, $120 million deal with the Boston Red Sox. It's being reported that Bregman turned down a 6-year deal worth $170 million in favor of signing with Boston.
Wow, there you go. Mully and Haw, no Bregman, Cubs fans. He's a Red Sox. He's out in Boston.
He'll be fielding ground balls for Garrett Crochet this year. I'm sorry. I know. I'm just trying to flash back at you because, like, that's a real bitter pill to swallow. Even though it's disappointing, you understand it, but it is still disappointing.
I can't catch my breath. You got me so bad there.
It wasn't that bad.
I feel awful.
I think Alex Bregman picking the Red Sox seeing what they are paying him.
I didn't even know he knew Crochet. I didn't know they were that tight.
I think he knows Alex Cora well.
I know he knows and Alex Cora well.
That's got to be part of the reason.
It's one of those secret relationships that we didn't bother or even investigate.
It is interesting. I know that you can't turn down the money because it's $40 million a year. And whether it's a one-year contract or a three-year contract or the opt-outs and the deferrals, it's very complicated. But the bottom line is now Alex Bregman just made it harder for him to get to the playoffs.
Hmm.
I think that the Red Sox will have a harder time getting to the postseason than the Cubs in 2025. And that is not as big of a factor to be weighed against the money that is $10 million more than the offer, any other offer.
So you don't think he tips them over the top?
Not in that division.
Okay.
Not in that division. Yankees, Orioles.
Orioles, yeah.
Red Sox. Blue Jays aren't done.
They're kind of finished.
Maybe. I think the Red Sox are better than the Blue Jays. This definitely establishes that. But I think that you join the American League East, you know that it's going to be difficult to get to the postseason. You join the Cubs, you make them the favorites. Just saying, nobody talks about that much anymore because it's always about the dollars. It's always about the money and free agency. But joining a team that is unlikely to be the favorite in your division rather than the team that would be the clear-cut favorite.
So this morning the headline isn't Cubs lose World Series. It's Bregman loses World Series.
Thank you.
That's good, David. You're turning it around now.
I'm rationalizing.
That's pretty good.
But is it factually inaccurate? Or that's not exactly out on a limb. Cubs have a better chance to win the division with Bregman than the Red Sox do with Bregman.
My daughter goes to Boston University. It is like a stone's throw from Fenway. And they get reduced tickets all the time. So she will occasionally go to Red Sox games with her friends because they get reduced tickets all the time. I don't follow that team that much, sadly. But I have a, direct relation that is attending a lot of games there.
So you have a vested interest.
So she'll like being able to see Bregman. I would venture to guess that she won't even be aware that Bregman signed or that he's even playing there.
You can tell her in your group chat.
Yeah, I will. We have a group chat. We have a family chat.
That's good.
I'm on a lot of group chats, man. I really dig in life. I wish I was.
Are you on one with Mattis?
I wish I was on the Bulls one. Yeah. I just like to jump in and make comments, like really wise guy jokes.
Why are you still here, Lonzo?
What the hell happened? 312-644-6767. It's Molly and all on this car.